Well, my friends, I'm getting a whole bunch of questions on what exactly is the United Nations Relief and Works Agency. And hot off his appearance at the Roanoke Conference in Ocean Shores this past weekend, back by popular demand from Stand With Us Northwest, John Michael Graves. Thank you so much for being with us today, my friend.
Thank you very much, Ari. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. So a lot of people are asking me questions about this, and I guess let's start at the very beginning, as they say in Sound of Music. What is UNRWA, and how did it get started?
Yeah, so before we even have to talk about UNRWA, we need to talk about the 1948 War of Independence in Israel and sort of the outcomes of that. So one of the outcomes of the war was that there were massive numbers of people on both sides who became refugees. So as a result, we're talking around anywhere, historians disagree on the number, but from 600,000 to 750,000 Arab refugees, right? Most Palestinian refugees fled to avoid being caught in a war zone to escape the violence, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to remember that it was initiated by the surrounding Arab states and Palestinian leadership. While it's true that a minority of these Palestinians were removed from their homes by the IDF, you have leading historians like Benny Morris that have confirmed that it has to do with places that they took up arms against the local Israeli forces. So places they didn't take up arms, like Nazareth or Abu Ghosh, you have Arab Israelis still living there. But other places where they did take up arms, they were removed. But the majority did flee. They fled to places like Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, the Jordanian-controlled West Bank, Egyptian-controlled Gaza after 1948, right? So as I said, right, with regards to evaluating the conflict, we need to consider, sure, the human element of all of this with the question of why did it happen, right? We don't take this tragedy lightly at all. While there are atrocities, of course, committed by both sides, we have to also remember that the Jewish refugees were also affected by this, right? Jews were ethnically cleansed from places like the old city of Jerusalem, Gush Etzion, right? This is the tip of the iceberg. There was a second refugee crisis that many people don't know about. There were about 850,000 Jewish refugees who were expelled or fled from the Arab world after the 1948 war. I mean, they left behind assets valued at 300 billion people. So we have around 600 to 750,000 refugees on one side, and then 850 to over 900,000 refugees on one side, right? So why don't we hear about the Jewish refugees? Well, because they fled to Israel and they were absorbed as citizens, fulfilling the exact purpose for why Israel was created. Now, what about the other refugees, what we hear today, the Palestinian refugees? So one population was resettled, no longer exists today as refugees, but the other has been living in a continuous state of displacement, right? The number of Palestinian refugees has increased, according to UNRWA, from 600 to 750,000, right, to roughly 5.96 million. They're the only refugee population in the world that has not only existed for decades, but increased by millions. Why is that? Well, in all other refugee situations, the UN Agency for Refugees, the UNHCR, this was established around 1950, they have a policy of resettlement. The goal is to rehabilitate the refugees as soon as possible, so essentially they can get on with their lives, right? Refugee status is conferred only on the refugee, not their descendant, and they seek to relocate, assimilate, etc. In the case of Palestinian Arab refugees, a special UN agency was created after the 1948 war that to look after them, and it's called the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, or UNRWA. And so under UNRWA rules, descendants of the 1948 refugees, already in the third and fourth generations many times, which are also considered refugees. And so that's sort of how UNRWA was created out of the 1948 war to sort of settle the Arab-Palestinian refugees who were displaced by the IDF or fled during that time. And they are the only other refugee group that has its own department within the United Nations. All other refugee groups have the UNHCR, but only the Palestinians have UNRWA.
So then what are the issues we're having with the agency today? Because you're seeing now over a dozen countries have cut off funding, including the United States, to this agency. What are they seeing that everybody else should know about?
Exactly. So, you know, you would think because there's, you know, one specific agency for one specific group of people, that there'd probably be more scrutiny or they'd have, you know, more advisory checks on this. But that's actually not the case. It's the other way around. The group that has to deal with the rest of the world's population seems to operate better. Well, I would really pinpoint the main problems with UNRWA, and they really do bleed within each other. I would say there's no mandate for the solution for the conflict. There's sort of this perfidious idea of descendants and the right of return, and then radicalism and perpetuation of the conflict. So let me just take these parts one at a time. So there's no mandate for the solution to the conflict. If you go to UNRWA's website, it states that there is no mandate to find a lasting solution to the problem of Palestinian refugees. I don't know any other refugee organization that doesn't want to solve the refugee problem, right? Their only mandate has to do with providing assistance to the refugees, not solving the crisis. So, right, after World War II, what did we see? We saw 60 million refugees that were scattered across Europe, and most of them were resettled by 1951. In 1947, there was a war and partition that displaced 13 million people in the Indian-Pakistan conflict with a massive population exchange, and we don't really see any talk about refugees there. But with the 600 to 750,000 Palestinians, we still have this problem that UNRWA hasn't solved with resettlement, right? So in 1949, UNRWA set up, what, 62 refugee camps, created its own network of schools and health services that still exist until this day, refugee camps that are still in operation. In 1950, the UNHCR was established in order to resolve refugee problems by repatriation, resettlement, or integration. Where is this outline for UNRWA? So the UNHCR has resettled tens of millions and served every refugee group in the world besides the Palestinians. Palestinian refugees remain the responsibility of UNRWA, whose mandate is to not resolve the refugee status, but rather to sustain them by providing direct relief and work programs. So now we have these permanent camps because there is no oversight in solving a solution. So of course, population growth is going to occur. And therefore, the agency decides to grant refugee status to all those other descendants of refugees, right? And this is where we get the 5.9 million people today. Now, remember, if you're a refugee under UNHCR and you become an American citizen and then you have a child, your child is no longer conferred this refugee status. But if you are a Palestinian who has so, not only your child, but your great-grandchild also. So, I mean, the most famous example, I mean, Gigi Hadid is worth $29 million. Bella Hadid is worth $25 million. Despite them being born in the U.S. and their mother being Dutch, some of the wealthiest women on earth, they still count as Palestinian refugees. I mean, Ari, this is so ridiculous that, you know, if they adopted a child, that child could potentially receive.
But meanwhile, my wife, whose grandmother was technically Palestinian, but she's Jewish, so my kids don't count for this, even though it's the exact same situation, but one's on one side, one's on the other.
Exactly, right? Children, great-grandchildren, besides ours, right? And so this leads to 5.9 million people who are all over, outside even of the state of Israel or the West Bank, Judea and Samaria and Gaza. So UNRWA just really presides over an open-ended crisis. I mean, 500,000 in Lebanon, over 500,000 in Syria, 2 to 3 million in Jordan, over 1 million in Gaza, and they're still counting this. I mean, Jordanian citizens, over 1.6 million are considered refugees. Jordanian citizens who have full and equal rights, right? Would still be considered, even though they wouldn't be under the other United Nations.
And even though none of them were born in 1948 when this happened.
Exactly. I mean, exactly, right? According to the UN Refugee Convention, what is it? A person shall no longer be considered a refugee if he has acquired a new nationality, right? But because of UNRWA, we have people, not to mention over, you know, 2 million Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza living under Palestinian control in Palestinian towns, being considered this. You know, so why is this being perpetuated? Well, this has a lot to do with, you know, the Palestinian right of return, which is another topic that I could get into another time. But basically, the right of return is the want of the Palestinian refugees and their descendants, those 5.9 million like the Hadids in the world over, to return to what is currently the state of Israel. I mean, the reality of this would be the ending of the world's only Jewish state. And Israel has offered Palestinian right of return into new states such as the West Bank or Gaza, but that's not, you know, enough. And so you would have literally an influx from their world come in, and it would cease to be a Jewish and democratic state. And, you know, just ask President Obama. He said Palestinians need to recognize that the right of return would extinguish Israel as a Jewish state, and that is not an option. That's a direct quote from President Obama.
Right. And now it seems like UNRWA's new method is, hey, let's give them weapons or let them store their weapons in our schools instead.
Exactly, which brings it to recent events, and which is really the third and I think, you know, the most damning point of UNRWA. It's perpetuating radicalism, which helps to further the conflict. I mean, recently discovered, what was just the other day? Israeli intelligence showed 10% of UNRWA workers in Gaza have ties to terror groups. According to the Wall Street Journal, 1,200 either were tied to, it was Hamas or PIJ. Right. The Associated Press said it saw an Israeli document alleging that at least 190 UNRWA workers were themselves Hamas or Islamic Jihad operatives. Mm-hmm. You know, so UNRWA staffers, what is the most insane thing to me is UNRWA staffers themselves participated in the October 7th attack. And I think this is something people really need to know. And this is why we're seeing countries, as you mentioned, pull funding. Right. UNRWA members participated in October 7th. They weren't just involved in the killing. They held hostages in their home, Ari. Yeah. They moved them between UNRWA buildings. A dossier was uncovered by the New York Times where they said one of the employees was described as taking part in the massacre at Kibbutz Be'eri, right? In the report, there are teachers, UNRWA-funded schools with teachers who want to murder Jews. Hostages said they were fed UNRWA food, right? Thankfully, we see actually the UN chief, Gutierrez, I believe, mm-hmm. if I recall, saying he's horrified, right? He's doing a comprehensive independent review. U.S. State Department, of course, we're usually more on top of this than the UN, said they were extremely troubled, right? But remember, we're finding tunnels under UNRWA schools, rockets hidden in UNRWA facilities. The IDF, back in, I believe it was, 21 or 22, they found, 14 underground rocket launch pads mm-hmm. in one of these schools. This is an organization that receives $340 million. This was in 2022, $340 million alone from just the U.S. Imagine what they get from all the other Western countries. And now where did this come from? The curriculum, right? Well, how can these teachers be doing this? Well, look at the things they're teaching. It's devastatingly anti-Semitic, anti-American, anti-Western, right. and racist. I mean, if you just saw, what did Jake Tapper have on CNN the other day? He showed a grade 7 science lesson where they were teaching Newton's second law in an UNRWA school. And how did they demonstrate Isaac Newton's second law? It was demonstrated through an image of a masked Palestinian boy aiming a slingshot at approaching soldiers. And the students were asked, what are the forces that influence it after its release? Use this, solve for X, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Right? This is reminiscent of the Jewish math questions that the Nazis taught, right? This every day incites young people. I mean, 11 months ago, there was a 13-year-old boy, Muhammad Aliwat, right? He shot two Israelis. And what did he write in his UNRWA textbook? God or victory or martyrdom. Forgive me, mother. You're going to be proud of me.
This is the insanity. I mean, what do you expect when they go to school next to missile launchers?
Exactly. Right. He attended an UNRWA school in a refugee camp. People actually went to look at the textbook, right, at the Al-Fukan Islamic school that Muhammad attended. Rife with anti-Semitic political cartoons. There's one with an excavator with a giant Star of David digging under the Dome of the Rock. There's another one I remember where it was a man in a keffiyeh shooting two soldiers in a tank. The exact thing that he did, shooting two soldiers. So, I mean, in a first, this is the most interesting thing that makes you really cringe. In a first grade class to teach one of the letters, yeah, there's four photos shown. Right. There's a girl, you know, planting a tree. One of them is a soldier planting a Palestinian flag on the ground with a gun in his hand. I mean, there's an entire chapter on why martyrdom is necessary for repelling the enemy with like images of the World Trade Center and, the U.S. flag wrapped with the 13 colonies, red striped tentacles wrapped around the world. I mean, we are funding this $340 billion a year.
And that's
now, right. This is coming to light.
Exactly. And this is exactly what's coming home to roost right now and why the rest of the world is following the U.S.'s lead and cutting them off. John Michael Graves from Stand With Us Northwest. You can check him out at standwithusnorthwest.com. You can find all the information on their website. You want to find out more about these topics, we could do like six shows. We could do a week of shows. We could do 2 weeks of shows on all this. But I really appreciate you joining us today, buddy.
Thank you so much, Ari. It's a pleasure as always.
Always. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues, including your good news giveaway, your good news headlines, your chance to win a $50 gift card, plus so much more. You're listening to the Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.